This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Adrienne Hill. There are, in the world, a lot of personal finance books. Books that'll help you decide between a Roth and traditional IRA. Books that promise the steps to a rich and fabulous life. Books that'll help you take advantage of the tax code, aka books that need to be rewritten. The new book, The Financial Diet by Chelsea Fagan, is none of those things. It bills itself as a total beginner's guide to getting good with money and has chapters about budget and investing, but also about food, home, and love. Chelsea, thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
In your book, on your other platforms, it seems like you're broadly focused. When you talk about the financial diet, it seems broadly focused on the millennial transition to grown-uphood. Is that fair?
Yes, I think that's fair.
Why is that where you've decided to focus the blog and the YouTube channel and the book on the sort of these big transitional questions?
Because I think money by itself is not that interesting, at least not to most people. So if we can frame it in the context of life more generally and lifestyle, I think it's a lot more appealing to a broader audience.
As I read your book, I was struck by that, how much of this advice isn't traditional money advice. How have sort of traditionalists responded to that? Is there some sense of like, hey, this isn't a personal finance book, this is something else?
Oh, I can 100% confirm that the actual personal finance / money community hate us.
Really? Tell me why.
A lot of them are what I would describe as sort of free market purists, and we speak very openly about progressive politics and how the solutions to a lot of these money issues are much more in the collective, things like student debt, predatory lending, that kind of thing. There's a real sense of gatekeeping. The financial world is not like medicine or law, where there are pretty strict regulations around who can talk about it. So the financial world and personal finance world tend to want to really gatekeep their own community and make it so that only, quote unquote, financial experts can talk about money, even in an editorial way. And we are not financial experts and don't aspire to be. So I think that they have this real sense of they should not be able to talk about this and they should not be successful.
So as you're dealing with that pushback, I mean, how do you deal with that pushback?
I ignore it entirely.
And how do you sell people on this idea that, no, when we're talking about money, we should be talking about what we eat and how we date, that we should be taking a broad-based look at our whole lives when we're talking about the financial diet?
I mean, I think that's just the core of what we do, and that has been what I think has made us popular, because the vast majority of people are not going to independently click on an article about 401ks, but if you can frame it in a way that has relevance to their overall life, I think they're much, much more likely to be interested.
Why do you think young people broadly, and women in particular, aren't getting this sort of advice either from schools, from their family? Where has this fallen down?
Whether or not you get a financial education and the degree to which you get it is going to be largely dependent on your family's financial literacy. I think there's also a lot of parents who don't put that on the checklist of things to teach their children about. Schools, I think, to be quite honest, I think the public education system and to an extent the private, although I'm not as familiar, don't do a great job about teaching a lot of things. There's not a huge incentive for it. I mean, unless you make it, you know, part of standardized testing and part of the regular curriculum, it's very hard to kind of inject these things into the high school education. I mean, you used to have things like home economics where you would have, you know, sort of like the family's pretend budget sheet for a week. But I don't think that was ever really, even for those people who had it, part of the core curriculum.
And is there, I mean, as somebody now who's the face of the financial diet, who does videos, who's got this new book out, do you feel a pressure to make the right choice all the time? Like, do you ever just say, you know what, I'm going to do something I know doesn't make any sense, that I know is against every piece of advice I give people every day, because it's hard to always live by the rules?
You know what? No, I think partially for opportunistic reasons. I think our brand is very much set up to be accommodating to being human beings. You know, our ethos has always been, you know, we're not robots. There are a lot of personal finance gurus and experts out there who advocate living these like extremely ascetic lifestyles and really counting every single penny. And I don't live that way. Our team doesn't live that way. We've never advocated living that way. So even if, for example, I bought a lot of decorations for the holiday season, which in some sort of objective sense, I guess, could be considered frivolous or wasteful, but they bring me a lot of joy. So I have zero regrets, and I don't feel particularly ashamed to say that.
Chelsea Fagan is the author of the new book, The Financial Diet. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.